Hello and welcome to the Central Fellowship Hour. The Central Fellowship Hour originates from the sanctuary of Central Fellowship Baptist Church in Macon, Georgia. Stay with us for uplifting music and a message from the Word of God. In just a moment, we'll hear from Rodney Queen, Senior Pastor of Central Fellowship. Central Fellowship is a Bible-believing assembly committed to solid growth, celebrative worship, responsible stewardship, and effective prayer. Central Fellowship is in the heart of Georgia, conveniently located on a 247 connector between Macon and Warner Robins. The address, 8460 Hawkinsville Road, Macon, 31206. You can reach them at this phone number, 912-781-2981. And now, here's Senior Pastor of Central Fellowship, Rodney Queen.
Amen. If you would open God's Word to the book of Matthew, chapter 19, we'll look at that in just a moment. Matthew chapter number 19. Have any of y'all been down the road down 75 to that maze that they have constructed down there? I should say that they've cut out of those cornfields. Just down the road on I-75, there's a maze down there. Much like what you see on the screen, a little bit different, but a maze is something where you go in and then you have to kind of try to find your way to the exit or to the other side or to the concealed exit. Well, there's a lot of people that are wandering around in what I'm going to call the marriage maze. It's been strange in the last little while. I've been trying to talk people out of getting married, and I've been trying to talk people in staying married. Just in recent weeks, it's just been an unusual amount of activity having to do with marriage. And we're right now doing a special course on Wednesday nights for marriage. Brother Truett is leading that. And I'd encourage you to get involved with that if you're not already involved. Also, been preaching some and been speaking about the thing about the family and about marriage. Well, I wonder this morning, are you wandering around in the marriage maze? Now, what do I mean by that? Well, I'm hearing people talking about how frustrating it is to be in the marriage maze. It is frustrating. Marriage, there's a lot of frustrations in just home life, in family life, in marriage life. So it's true. If you think about thinking about getting married, young people, one day, understand there are many frustrations involved. Can I have some married people say amen? Amen. There are great, great frustrations. And then some are saying, well, it seems like everywhere I turn in this marriage maze, I'm facing a dead end. That's true. It's exactly true. Because in marriage, in home life, you're going to face dead end after dead end after dead end. Sometimes it's backing up, turning around, going back the other way, and just continue in your search for this success in home life or success in marriage. Even having some that's even saying things like this, well, Pastor, I just feel like I'm missing out on some things. I can hear just over the hedge somebody else, man, they're having a good time over there. And we're not having a good time in our family. Not having a good time in our marriage situation. Well, you're going to hear all kind of noises. You're going to hear people, and you're going to be thinking that, man, everybody else is having a good time. I'm missing out on something by staying in this marriage relationship. You might be sitting there watching TV, in that marriage maze, and you're seeing all types of portrayals about fun and happiness and what's going on, and you're thinking, I am missing out. Also, when you're in the marriage maze, you're going to say this, and I've said it too, you can't seem to see very far in front of you. In a maze, you can't see very far in front of you. Didn't you think when you got married, for you that are married, didn't you think that getting married, there's a straight shot, a straight path, if we just stay in the straight and narrow, everything's going to work out fine. But it's not like that. There are those dead ends, there's those problems you can't see very far in front of you. Especially when you get bottled down and burdened down with bills, job, children, stresses. You just can't see very far in front of you. Now, this is what I've seen over and over and over again. When all these things begin to come to pass in marriage life, people start sending the periscope up. And they're now going to be looking, is there a way out? Is there a way out? Can I get out of this situation? Matthew 19, that's exactly what the Pharisees did. They came to Jesus saying, Jesus, can we get out? Is there a way out of this marriage thing? Can we get out for just any old reason? Look at what it says there in Matthew chapter number 19. Starting in verse number 1, and it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came to the coast of Judea beyond Jordan, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. So notice God's doing some great works in some people's lives, but here comes the Pharisees. Verse 3, they're not rejoicing. They're not praising God for what's being done. They come to try to test him. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him or testing him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife or divorce his wife for every cause or for any cause? And he answered and said unto them, have you not read? Don't you know what the Bible says? That he which made them at the beginning made them male and female. And I imagine they're sitting there thinking, now wait a minute, Jesus, we didn't ask you to give us a lesson now. We just asked about, can we get out of divorce? But you see, sometimes we need to go back to the beginning and begin to see God's way from the beginning. And that's what Jesus is showing them here. He's saying, y'all are in the maze right now. You're wanting to just try to find a way out. Let's go back to the beginning. Verse number 5. For he said, this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain, or they two, shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder, which literally means divorce. They say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? He saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of those people's heart, or is that what it says there? No, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered or allowed you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery, and whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. His disciples say unto him, if the case of the man be so with his wife, it is not good to marry. You see what the disciples got out of what Jesus just said? They said, well, if that's the way it is, Lord, if we just can't get out of this thing, it's good that we not marry. That's exactly right. It's best that you don't marry if you're looking for a way out. If you're going into it looking for a way out, it is best not to marry. You know, not just marriage, but I see, it seems like in the day in which we live, more and more Christians are looking for a way out of just doing what's right. It's not just marriage, but just anything and everything. You know, just give me a loophole. Can I find a loophole in the Bible? Can I find a loophole in the Scripture? Let me see if I can talk to the preacher. Set up an appointment with the preacher. Talk to the preacher. See if he will agree with me about what I'm about to do. You don't know how many enemies I've made by not agreeing with people when they've come to counsel and come to ask, what do you think? A person that I would have never dreamt of just recently. This is not a person that's a member of our church, but they're connected with our church. Never would have dreamt that this person would turn on me simply on an issue about right and wrong. This person never had a problem with this right and wrong situation until it involved their child, their grown child. Now, it's all different. Now, the Word of God doesn't look as black and white, as right and wrong, as whatever God said in the past, and I believe. No, now it looks real gray. There's a kind of mingling. There's a kind of a fog there. You know, all of us, if we're not careful, we'll allow our feelings and our love for family to fog our view of what God says is right and wrong. Run down yonder to City Hall and get a marriage license, and we can jump into marriage. But you can't drive an automobile without first getting a learner's permit, and then driving some, and then spending a year driving so many hours with an adult in the car. And then you've got to take it. Then you are allowed to drive. But why is it? Why is it that we're taking such a lackadaisical attitude? Such a unserious, non-serious attitude toward marriage. Here in Matthew 19, it's the religious people that come to Jesus and ask Him this question. Can we get out? Can man get out? And of course, as the custom was in that day, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes, those that were in the positions of leadership, they had brought about all of these different rules and regulations on how and why you could divorce your wife. She couldn't divorce her husband, but he could divorce her. And even one of the rabbis' rules were that if she messes up cooking your egg, you are allowed to put her away. I mean, they had covered the bases on every little jot and tittle of how they could get out of the marriage. But Jesus wasn't like that. Jesus says, no, we're not going to go by tradition. We're not going to go by what mama thinks and what daddy thinks. We're not going to do what everybody agrees on. We're going to do what the Word of God says. Let's get back to the Word of God, Jesus said. And He goes back to the beginning. Don't you know what the Word of God says? Have you not read, He says in verse number 4. Let's talk about marriage and married life just for a few minutes. I think it would do us all good. I think it'll do me good. I think it'll do you good. You say, well, I'm not married. It'd still do you good. You've got family, friends, you've got children, maybe grandchildren that are going to be getting married. And maybe the greatest heartache in your life is yet to come because of marriage. Not you personally, but a family member. Does pain and agony come into your life even when you're not the one getting married because of loved ones? Of course it does. And especially when you think about bringing little grandbabies into the world. And there's a half of that grandbaby that you didn't raise. I'm talking about the daddy or the mama. The son or daughter-in-law of you that you didn't raise. It's a fearful thing to see people just jumping in and out of situations so flippantly. Parents, would you commit to God? Grandparents, would you commit to God? Forget about the past, what's happened in the past. Maybe you have gone through heartache and there's been situations in the past. There's nothing can be done about that. But would you commit in your heart today that you're not going to flip-flop on issues and flip-flop on what's right just because it involves one of your children or grandchildren? Please don't. Who provided this thing called marriage to begin with? God provided marriage. Look at what the Word of God says here in Matthew chapter number 19. He's talking about marriage and he goes back. He reminds these Pharisees that even though it had been 4,000 years, still marriage was not out of date. Marriage is not like the way kerosene has gone or the Model T Ford has gone. Marriage is still up to date. It's still God's way. Number one, it's the plan of God. God planned it. God is the one behind it. Look at verse 4. He answered and said unto them, have you not read? Get back to the Bible, he says, that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female. He made them two different sexes. He made them different. He made them opposite. He says, he made them male and female, and for a cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Marriage is the first institution ordained by God. Marriage comes before any laws are laid down in society. Marriage came before civilization had really begun. Marriage came before government, human government was instituted. Marriage came before any system of worship, before Israel, before the tabernacle, before the temple, before the church. Marriage is instituted by God. And regardless of what tragic failures in the past concerning marriage, it's still the plan of God. One man for one woman for life. That's God's plan. He's the one who's provided it. Number two, look at the priority in this thing called marriage. There's a priority. When your little boy and little girl is born into your family, the priority is you as the parent to that child. The priority for that child is to listen to mom and dad, obey mom and dad, honor mom and dad. But that priority does change. Verse 5 tells us, For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother. Doesn't mean that he quits honoring them. But he leaves his father and mother, and he cleaves to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. There's a spinoff here. A spinoff from one family to another family. Just like when you and your wife came together and God blessed with a child as a result of your love and intimacy with each other, there's a spinoff of your life. There comes a time as you raise that child that you raise them to spin out of your home and spin into another entity called a home.
You're listening to Rodney Queen on the Central Fellowship Hour. He'll be back with more in just a moment. Pastor Queen is senior pastor of Central Fellowship Baptist Church in Macon, Georgia. Central Fellowship is located on a 247 connector between Macon and Warner Robins. You can contact them at this phone number, 912-781-2981. That's 912-781-2981. Now here again is Pastor Queen on the Central Fellowship Hour.
The priority. Marriage is a supreme commitment. It has a priority before God like no other. May I say, parents, we father-in-laws and mothers-in-laws, we parents of married children, the supreme commitment is not to us when they get married. So many problems. Not of Joe and Susie, but of Joe's parents and Susie's parents. We're to honor our parents. The Bible teaches us. But we're to leave father and mother and cleave unto our wife. As someone has wisely said, that means two strings are cut at marriage. The purse string and the apron string. There is to be a new entity beginning. So parents aren't the commitment, the priority, and the main commitment in a marriage relationship. May I say this also? Children are not they're not the priority in a marriage relationship. Now that almost sounds blasphemous to some people. But God says, one man, one woman, their commitment and priority to each other supersedes all other priorities. And how many men and women, couples, have put their focus on the children and the children, not each other, not husband, not wife, but on the children. And as a result, you've got a marriage that is not intended the way God meant for it to be. You've got a home life that is not operating in God's pattern. Our vocational life is not the priority either. I've read where one man was told that he was to transfer in the business that he was in. He had to transfer and go to another city. His wife thought this was a terrible idea. She got visibly upset. She got sick to her stomach. She says, I cannot see us pulling up, leaving our church, leaving our school. The kids are happy. I'm happy. But he said, but I was told I've got to transfer. After they battled it out, he said, well, she's just going to have to get used to it. If she wants to stay with me, she ought to realize my job is important. After all, I can always find another wife. Our jobs, our ministries, there's nothing that has a priority over husband and wife. So that's the priority of marriage, the plan of marriage. But notice the permanence of marriage mentioned in verse number 6. They are no more twain. They are no more two, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Why are we experiencing such high divorce rates in the church today? It's because people have looked at marriage not in the permanent way that God has looked at it, but they look at it as, if I get up against the wall, if I get into a problem, if I get into a bad situation, I can always bail out. I can always get out. People are not going to look down upon me. It's accepted today. I can just walk away from my commitment, walk away from my wife or husband. I can walk away from my children. I can walk away from it all. And that's not God's way. The permanence of marriage, one flesh is produced. And then notice the product of marriage. What is the product of marriage found here in verse number 6? What do you get when you have two and they come together in a marriage? You get what? One flesh. Now, do you really want to know what the Bible means by this? Do you really want to know? Preacher, I want to know what the Bible means. Tell me what the Bible means. We look at this statement, a man and a woman at a marriage altar, they're pronounced man and wife, somehow mystically these two become one. And that is true. But that's, does it say here, the two shall be one spirit? It says they two shall be one flesh. The product of marriage is a coming together and being intimate. We call it consummating a marriage. Of course, in the day in which we live, there's a whole lot of consummating going on and not a lot of marriage. People living together, people just immoral. And people don't think a thing about fornicating. Living in open immorality. And that is a perversion of what God meant for one woman, one man coming together in that most intimate way and becoming one flesh. Look at the second main thing that I want you to notice. God is the one that provided married life. He's the one that brought it into existence. But man is the one who pollutes married life. Man or woman can pollute what God made holy. And that's why it says here in verse number 7, Jesus said, or they asked, well, why did Moses allow a writing of divorcement to put her away? In verse 8, he says, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, or because of sin, allowed you to put away your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. And here's the only exception, verse number 9. The only exception. Whosoever shall put away his wife, or we could say put away her husband, except it be for immorality, fornication. The word there is porneia, means illicit sexual relationships. That's it. That's the exception. When you look at a young man and a young woman, or an older man or older woman at a marriage altar, there's such a picture of holiness, purity, the sanctity of God is upon that as you watch them give themselves to each other. We see that. But we don't view the polluting part when adultery takes place. You know, generally people hide when they do that. Generally people get to where they're not seen, where they can be in secret, where they can be under the guise or cover of darkness or concealment. One of the ugliest pictures that it'll ever, or every ugliest thoughts that'll ever cross your brain is the thought of somebody that you know in an illicit relationship, in an illicit union, committing that act. That is vile, that is filthy, that is sickening, that is so unholy. You don't even want to think about that. And some of the men and the women that I have counseled, some of you sitting right here, the greatest struggle you have in your life is reliving those thoughts of a betrayal. That is pollution in a marriage. Pollution. What happens when a person pollutes their marriage with this type of sin? Well, first of all, you sin against yourself. Any sexual sin, according to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18, is a sin against your own body. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his or her own body. When we sin in that way, we sin against ourselves. Secondly, we sin against the home. We sin against that mate. We sin against those children. We sin against those grandchildren. We sin against the home in general. We sin against the sanctity of the home, the example of the home. We sin against the home. And here's this next thing. It's a big debatable thing. I don't think it's debatable. But it's debatable by a lot of people. But they say, it's my business and it ain't none of your business. It's a sin against the church. If you're a part of this church or whatever church, it's a sin against that church. It defiles that church. It hurts that church. It's also a sin against the Lord. Of course, we know that. It's a sin against the Lord. But if you're saved, the Holy Spirit indwells your body. You read what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, that when you join yourself to another sexually, you are joining the temple of the Holy Ghost with an immoral person. That's what Paul said. I can't believe you, Corinthians. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? And if you join yourself to a harlot, you are joining the temple of God with a harlot. An immoral person. It's a sin against the Lord. But here's the last thing. Not only did God plan marriage, God or man pollutes marriage, but man and God can preserve marriage. You say, well, can't God do it by himself? No, he can't. God has set the standard. But only you and I, in conjunction with God, can preserve married life. I'd read this that somebody else said. Let me just quickly give you these six things here. They said these six things would help hold together a marriage, a family. Just jot these six things down and try to visualize these things and understand. Whatever the past has been, that's forgotten, that's forgiven if you've confessed it before God. But for the future, preserving from here on out, number one, make a decision. Decision. Make a decision that you're going to live for God. Make a decision that you're going to be holy. Make a decision that you're going to do what's right. Regardless of what anybody else does, make that decision. It's better to make the decision now than wait till you get in a temptation situation. Make it now. Number two, dependence. Dependence. It's not enough just to decide, but you got to depend on the Lord. You've got to put your strength in the Lord. You can't trust the flesh. The flesh will let you down. The flesh is weak. Depend on Him. Live in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. The third word is devotion. Be devoted to that mate. Be devoted with all your heart, that husband or that wife. They're not perfect. You're not perfect. If they've sinned against you, you've sinned against them. Every husband, every wife has sinned against each other. In your mind, it might be bigger than the other. But just be devoted. Love covereth a multitude of sins. Be devoted. Be devoted to each other. Be devoted to your God. Fourth thing is development. Continue to develop your love from day to day. Develop your relationship to the Lord day to day. Be in a constant development of that relationship. Number five is discipline. That means you and I have to guard our company. 27 times in the New Testament we're told to run. 27 times in the New Testament we're told to flee fornication. We're told to flee immorality. We cannot be in the company of the opposite sex and expect ourselves to always do what's right. That's why we're not to be in the company of the opposite sex unless it's something that we cannot help. But even then, we should make sure that we discipline ourselves, keep ourselves clean, don't walk down slippery places, be very, very careful. And of all the scandals that have taken place in the past 100 years, whatever you think of this preacher is beside the point, but I'm telling you, there's one preacher that made a decision years ago, and he's probably one of the most world-famous preachers from America or around the world. But I made a decision years ago that I will not be in the presence of a woman while I'm alone. And because of that, Billy Graham has never had that kind of scandal. Determination. Determine, like Job, that I'll make a covenant with my eyes that I will not watch that which is evil, watch what is sinful. If David had not have watched, looked, viewed what was sinful on his rooftop, wouldn't that have solved a lot of problems? So we're talking about a marriage maze now. People are like the Pharisees, got the periscope up looking for a way out. Let's put the periscope back down And let's realize that, yes, we're all frustrated at times. There's dead ends in the relationships at times. That means you just have to back up, keep searching, keep walking, keep moving. And let's make our marriages, make our homes work. Let's make sure, let's pray, let's seek God's face that our children and our grandchildren, they're going to have homes that are going to be blessed by God. Let's bow our heads for prayer. I feel like this morning I might have just talked and rambled more than I did preach, but I hope you know my heart this morning, folks. My heart gets heavier and heavier dealing with these situations. And I know some of you going through the situations, my heart aches for you. My heart bleeds for you. I wish I could snap my fingers and it would go away, but it won't. We're dealing with that thing that Matthew 19 talks about, the hardness of men's hearts, the hardness of women's hearts. That's something that we cannot change on our own. God gives man a free will and a free choice. Would you commit to God this morning that you're not going to be hard-headed and hard-hearted? Would you commit to God this morning that you're going to do what's right? Make that decision right now with the Lord.
You've been listening to the Central Fellowship Hour, coming to you from Central Fellowship Baptist Church in Macon, in the heart of Georgia. Central Fellowship is on the 247 connector, right across from the Macon Municipal Airport between Macon and Warner Robins. Rodney Queen is the senior pastor and sincerely appreciates your response. Address your letter to Central Fellowship, 8460 Hawkinsville Road, Macon, 31206. That's 8460 Hawkinsville Road, Macon, 31206. If you'd like to call, 912-781-2981, 912-781-2981. Join Pastor Queen and the Assembly at Central Fellowship the same time next week, right here on the Central Fellowship Hour.